This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
What an honor to have on the show today, Jim Rogers. Jim, of course, is a famous investor, co-founder with George Soros of the Quantum Fund. He's a college professor, world traveler, and of course, an economic commentator and source of reason and common sense and good intelligence on the economy, on television, on all the financial shows. But Jim, I want to ask you first, in 2007, you sold your beautiful home in New York and you moved to Singapore, of course, sold your house at the right time. And moved to Singapore. Why did you do that?
Well, I mainly did it because Asia is the wave of the future. In my view, moving to London in 1807 would have been brilliant. Moving to New York in 1907 would have been brilliant. Well, moving to Asia in 2007, I hope will be brilliant. I want my children. I've got a little girl born in 2003 and one born in 2008. I want them to grow up in knowing Asia and speaking Mandarin, speaking Chinese. I think it'll be the most important language in their lifetime. And we wanted to be in Asia. It's extremely exciting there, and everything seemed to come together. I was convinced that the housing market in America was going to collapse, as I said many times. So it just seemed to be the right time to sell out and move and try new adventures, new fields.
Well, it seems to be a very smart thing that you did. And of course, back here in the States, we have Mr. Bernanke and Mr. Paulson and the rest of the government gang. They seem to be entirely following the Herbert Hoover, Franklin Roosevelt playbook. I mean, it seems like they're intent on turning this recession into a long depression.
Well, I'm afraid you happen to be right, doing the same thing that the Japanese did, too, in the 1990s. As you remember, the Japanese refused to let anybody fail. They propped up a lot of what were then known as zombie companies and zombie banks. You know, it's 18 years later, and the Japanese market is still 75 or 80% below where it was 18 years ago. They talk about the 1990s as the lost decade. I'm afraid we may look back 10 years from now and talk about a lost decade, too.
You know, it seems like the Keynesians, their only answer to what happened in Japan or in the 1930s is that there just wasn't enough, quote-unquote, stimulus, that the government didn't bail out enough, didn't increase the money supply enough. They never seem to think that there might be something wrong with the tools they're using.
Well, you and I know that there was lots of bad investment, absurd investment, and that when you have something like that, you have to clean out the system and start over. I mean, the only way you do that, and you and I are not the first people to figure it out, you need to have creative destruction. You need to clean out the system. I often use the analogy of a forest fire. You know, nature invented forest fires. They're horrible when they're going on, but they clean out the bad growth and the underbrush, and then the forest starts over and becomes an even stronger and more beautiful forest. The same applies to economics. The same applies to a lot of things.
And, of course, when the environmentalists and the government get together and don't allow people to clean the brush, don't allow forests to be cleaned up, that stimulates forest fires and very destructive fires that take a lot of homes down with them.
Well, it has all sorts of unintended consequences, and as many people before me have said, let nature take its course, and we'll all wind up better off.
Well, Jim, what lies ahead, do you think? They're doing all these things. I don't know whether they're going to bail out the so-called Big Three, but they certainly seem to be bailing everybody else out. What's the result of this going to be?
Well, Lou, I've got a couple of old bicycles I need to get rid of, too. I'm going to call them up and ask them if they'll buy me out. I mean, it's astonishing what's going on, how they're bailing out everybody in sight. You know, the way the system is supposed to work, when things go bad, the incompetents fail, and the competent people take over the assets from the incompetent people, and they start over from a stronger base, and the whole system gets better. What you have happening this time is the government is taking away the assets from the competent people and giving them to the incompetent people and saying, okay, now you can compete with the competent people with their money, and the whole system is weakened. I mean, it's absurd economics, and it's horrible morality, too. Not that politicians care about morality, but it's just ludicrous economics. In the UK, there was a major bank called Northern Rock, which was failing. So everybody started taking their money out of Northern Rock, as they smartly did. Well, then the government and started putting their money into Barclays and Royal Bank of Scotland and people like that. So the government then stepped in and bailed out Northern Rock. And so at that point, everybody started taking their money out of Barclays and the Royal Bank of Scotland and putting into Northern Rock. So that made Royal Bank of Scotland and Barclays weak. So then the government had to bail them out, too. So the whole system in the UK now is terribly weakened. everybody's worse off. Instead of letting Northern Rock fail, it would have certainly hurt a few thousand people, or maybe 100,000 people. But that's better than having 70 million people now suffering because of some absurdity.
Jim, they're, of course, bailing out all the banks in this country, the big banks. What's the result of that? I mean, they're, of course, creating vast amounts of new money. So far, prices are still falling exactly as they did in the 1930s. Unlike in the 1930s or the 1940s, do we face inflation, maybe even hyperinflation, in terms of prices?
Well, Lou, first of all, let me say that there are lots of banks, lots of brokers, lots of homeowners in the world, in America, who didn't get involved in the madness, who did what they were supposed to and actually could see madness developing and were waiting for their turn to come along when they would, you know, when they would say, okay, we saved our money, we didn't buy this stuff, and now we're going to do what's right and we're going to make a lot of money, we're going to take market share. It's not working that way, of course, because all the people who did the right thing are now being penalized by the government to save the people who did the wrong things. How is it all going to wind up? It's going to wind up with America in a much weaker position. It already is. You see the big three automobile make right now. It's so absurd, Lou. In America, there are 40 million people who do not have health insurance. But what's about to happen is the government is going to bail out the automobile companies so that they will all preserve their health insurance. And so 40 million people who can't even afford health insurance are going to have to pay higher taxes so that the automobile workers can continue to have their health. What kind of system is that, Lou? I mean, this is weakening America dramatically. You talk about prices. Yes, prices are not going down. They're going down in the markets. The price of cotton is down. The price of copper is down. But that's because of forced liquidation. There's this gigantic forced liquidation which is taking place. It's a historic period. It's only happened 8 or 9 times in the past 100, 150 years. But it's happening again. And those price decreases are temporary as far as I can see. You have governments all over the world printing gigantic amounts of money and spending gigantic amounts of money. I mean, we all know that throughout history that has led to rampant inflation down the road. Now, maybe it's different this time. I don't believe it's different this time, but this has always led to higher prices, and it will again.
And, of course, this is very politically destabilizing, as we know, whether we look at Weimar or other times when governments have printed these amounts of new currency. It's not only economically a problem, but it can wreck the whole of society. It brings about almost a decivilizational process. So it's quite a frightening thing.
Well, I think it was Lenin who said once upon a time, a long time ago, that the best way to destabilize a country is to have inflation, because nobody understands it and is invidious, and by the time everybody's figures out what's going on, you've already wrecked the society. And of course, the communists were very interested in wrecking societies because then they could take them over. I'm not suggesting this is a plot by Lenin by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just confirming your point that yes, it's a very destabilizing and dangerous thing when inflation gets out of control. We've all seen it happen many times in history. You mentioned Weimar. Well, Weimar's not the only country that had huge problems because of inflation. It's happened all the time. Not all the time, but every time it's happened, it's caused problems, and it will again.
Jim, if somebody has money, they didn't get involved in the crazy mortgages or crazy investments in the credit market, what should they do today? What would you tell the person who shares our views about what is ahead for the economy? What do they do with their money, whatever money they've got left?
Well, first, they should be very careful, and they should only invest in things they know about. They shouldn't listen to some guy they hear on the radio or on the computer or on the TV. They should only invest in what they know. I'll tell you what I'm doing. It's what people can maybe think about doing. But, you know, I have been short a lot, and I covered a lot of my shorts in the stock market in October. The things I started buying were China, Taiwan, commodities, and the Japanese yen. In history, Lou, the way you make money coming out of periods like this is you find the things where the fundamentals have been unimpaired. The only things I know where the fundamentals have been unimpaired or, in fact, improved are commodities. Farmers cannot even get loans to buy fertilizer now. Nobody can get a loan to open a zinc mine. So the supply of everything is going to continue to decline, which is going to put pressure on prices going down the road. And, of course, you have governments printing huge amounts of money. That has always led to price increases of real assets. So for the fundamental basis, I'm buying commodities, supply and demand are way out of whack. And then, of course, there's this icing on the cake that the governments are printing a lot of money. In my view, that's about the only way I know we're going to all make a lot of money in the future. The American dollar is going to come under more pressure down the road. It's going up at the moment because there's this forced liquidation of all positions. We've had huge short positions in the dollar. Now everybody's having to reverse those positions and cover their dollar shorts. Well, somewhere in the next year or two, that's going to end, and the dollar is going to start collapsing again. So I would urge people to learn about investing abroad, learn about opening foreign bank accounts, foreign brokerage accounts. It's perfectly legal, at least at the moment it's perfectly legal in America, as long as you report it, of course. And I would urge people to start learning about what the rest of the world and hard assets and real assets and some of the opportunities that may exist abroad.
What about gold?
Well, I own some gold. I think I'm going to make, well, first I should tell you, I'm the world's worst market timer, Lou. I'm not very good at trading, short-term trading, but I own some gold. If gold goes down, I'm going to buy some more. If it goes up, I'm going to buy some more. I think I'm going to make more money in agriculture or some of the other real assets in the medium term or near term, but I own them all.
You once pointed out that in the future, it may be the farmers who are going to be driving the Maseratis rather than the 29-year-old traders on Wall Street.
Absolutely. You know, there's a shortage of farmers developing in the world, Lou. Everybody listening to you got a sound education. Well, most of the people who were in school with us became financiers or lawyers or journalists or something. Very few of them became farmers. Farmers have been a horrible business for the last 30 years. We have a shortage of farmers developing right now. You can... The number of acres devoted to wheat farming, for instance, has been in decline for 30 years. You can ride around Japan and you will see huge stretches of farmland just empty because all the farmers are too old and the kids have moved away. The Japanese really do not like foreigners, and they really, really do not like Chinese foreigners, but things are so bad in Japan that they are bringing in Chinese farmers to farm the fields in Japan because there are no farmers. Well, this is happening all over the world. The world's going to change. We've had many periods in history when agriculture or producers of real assets have been the successful and rich people. That's about to happen again.
Jim, you're a student of Austrian economics and of the free market and libertarianism. What books would you suggest that people read these days?
Oh, Lou, I'm going to turn them over to the Van Mises Institute to get the books because you know the books better than I do.
Jim Rogers, you're a hero. Every time that we hear you on television, I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast cheers. And it's an honor to have you on the show.
Well, I am flattered. I'm very flattered. I'm an admirer of what you all are doing, and I hope you keep up the good work.
Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.